We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You gotta keep them separated.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Hope everybody's doing well on this Thursday night. So much going on in the world of South Florida sports. And for more on everything going on, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Welcoming Barry Jackson, covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald. You can read his Florida Sports Buzz column in the Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at FLA Sports Buzz. Barry, appreciate your time this evening. You're in Detroit with the Miami Heat. How's everything going up there in the cold weather?
Hi, Greg. Good to be with you. We're actually in suburban Detroit, an hour outside the city. The Heat practicing at a high school in Birmingham, Michigan today with kids running by and snow outside. And a very interesting day because we sort of saw this coming the other night. When Dion Waiters went off and complained about playing time, the first thought that came to my mind, Greg, was Hassan Whiteside was fined for this just in March. For complaining about playing time. So we sort of envisioned a fine was likely, and we got that today.
We did. And so before we talk about everything that happened today, take us back to Tuesday night, because you were there in Milwaukee. One, it was a terrible game, 124-86, a Heat loss. But then when Dion Waiters went on his expletive-laden complaint about playing time, what was the scene like in the locker room?
Well, I had approached him and I asked him about continuing to be patient. I wasn't expecting that sort of response, nor was I even looking for it. I said, is this all still part of the process where you just have to be patient, for another week, two, maybe three, until you get more playing time? And his immediate response was, bleep patience. I want to play. I've been patient long enough. What do I got to be patient for? Come on, man. I've been patient. I think everybody knows that. It's time. What are we waiting for? The next step is being back in the starting lineup. So after he made those comments, the Heat was quickly made aware of them. And yesterday, even though the team did not practice, Spoelstra and the players had a meeting. Spoelstra spoke with Waiters and said, look, these comments are not acceptable. You're being fined. There was also a team meeting in which several players spoke. During the meeting, I don't believe it was combative. I believe it was done constructively. Haslam told me today that he was one of the players who spoke up in the meeting, and he said, we understand Dion's comments while not the right thing to do are coming from a good place. And I asked Haslam what he told Waiters in the meeting yesterday, and he said, my conversation with Dion was, we want that chip on your shoulder, we want that fire, we want that competitive spirit, we just want it channeled in the right direction. And Waiters and Wade spoke for an hour as well. So that brought us to today. And today it was odd, Greg. Normally our sessions with Spoelstra begin with us asking questions, but today Spoelstra said, I just want to discuss Dion, and went on for a good 2 minutes and was pretty candid. The first thing he said was, this is not acceptable behavior from Dion, especially coming off the type of loss we had the other night. And then he made the point that Waiters is basically coming back to a different team from the one that he left, because when he was first injured with his ankle injury back in December of 2017, the Heat did not have this level of depth on the roster. So Spoelstra made the point, look, this is going to be difficult for Dion. I have empathy for everything he's gone through, but it's about winning. It's not about him. I expect him to get in great shape and compete for minutes like everybody else. And then Spoelstra gave us what the zinger was, Greg. He said, ranting in the media is not going to move the needle with me at all. I just don't think it's healthy for our team. It ends up being a distraction. It won't be on his terms. It will be on the team's terms. And these concepts of patience and surrendering to the team, whether he wants to put expletives in front of it or behind it, those are going to be very important concepts for him to embrace. So
wow.
It was about as candid as we can ever expect from Spo. And Waiters said the right things today, but what I found interesting about his response was he didn't seem to regret making the comments. He just regretted how he phrased the comments. He said, sometimes you just have to say things and get them off your chest to feel better. So he still feels what he said the other night, but he said he made a mistake in terms of saying it so forcefully and with the expletives. And then I asked him, can you deal with this if it's like this all season? If your minutes remain in this range of 8 to 15 a game and you're not a starter again this season, can you deal with it? And his answer was, I don't know.
Well, I guess both Spo and Deion Waiters very candid today, to say the least. Barry Jackson joining me here from the Miami Herald is was in Milwaukee, now in the Detroit area, covering the Miami Heat. They get ready to take on the Pistons tomorrow. I've argued, Barry, that while I don't like the way he went about it, I actually agree with Deion Waiters. I don't know what Spo is waiting for to get him some more regular minutes, because I think he provides an element to this team that, even though they have got depth, that a lot of the other players don't provide. So from a wins and losses standpoint, I think he can help them. Now, if he's not healthy, then I can understand them bringing him back slowly, but Waiters seems to indicate he's ready to go. I don't think he did it the right way, but is there going to be an opportunity for Deion Waiters, despite this, for Eric Spoelstra to get him more minutes, in your mind?
I don't think Spoelstra can make a comment today saying that these comments are not going to get him anywhere with me in terms of more playing time, and then the next game play him 35 minutes. I just don't see Spoelstra doing that, because it shows to the team that he will cave if a player comes out and criticizes him. I think in time, which might be a week, perhaps a little bit longer, we'll probably see him get back to closer to 20 to 25 minutes. But I'm no longer convinced that he's going to be a starter on this team. I think the expectation was eventually he would be a starter again. But with the way he's being used in his first 7 games back, which has been not at all in 2 games and limited minutes in 5 others, I get the sense that they don't view him as the savior as fans do. Because if they viewed him as a player who could take this team to a next level, I think he'd be playing a lot more. My view is they view Waiters as just one of 11 or 12 similarly talented players, and no better than Tyler Johnson, not substantially better than Magruder, even though his talent would suggest he would be. So I'm not sure we're going to see anytime soon Waiters cast in the starting shooting guard savior role. And I think it was indicative of what they think of him to an extent when they tried very actively to trade him last summer. 2 general managers told me at the Las Vegas Summer League that the Heat was very aggressive trying to move Waiters last summer, but there was just no interest in him.
Yeah, really interesting and telling, as you're mentioning there. Hey, Barry, you also wrote about the latest with Wayne Ellington. It sounds like he wants playing time as well. He's one of these guys that is in the mix but hasn't been playing at all, unless it's in garbage time minutes. Is he likely to be traded, from what you're hearing?
Well, I think they're going to at least make the attempt to try to accommodate him, because as long as this team is healthy, he's not going to play here. The problem is you have very few teams that can absorb his contract without sending money back to Miami. One would be the Kings, and I guess it's conceivable, with them being in playoff contention, perhaps they have interest in a shooter. Denver and Detroit would be interesting options, because they have exceptions, trade exceptions, which would allow them to absorb Ellington's $6.2 million salary without trading any money back to Miami. Now, of course, the 27 other teams, the Heat could trade Ellington too, but they'd have to take money back. So what you could see is perhaps Ellington being traded for a player who is worse than Ellington, and as enticement for Miami, the Heat possibly could get a second-round pick as well. However, that would accomplish nothing in terms of reducing the Heat's luxury tax bill, which stands at $9.7 million. And I think the team would like to reduce that by the end of the season when the bill is set. So I think possibly could be traded, but I'd say far from guaranteed.
Barry Jackson covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald, joining me here on 560 WQAM. Since you're traveling with the Heat, and I don't know what there is to do in suburban Detroit, as you said, you're about an hour outside the city, any plans to hang out with Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union to celebrate the 37th birthday?
It's funny. Wade reminded us today, I wish him a happy birthday, and he said, what's strange is he thought back to that old yearbook post, which anyone can find on a Google search if they do it right now, but Wade actually predicted in his yearbook 20 years ago that at the age of, 20 years from now, which would be the age of 37 or 38, he would be a famous basketball player, and he would be ready to retire with his family. So that's what he wrote in his high school yearbook in Oak Lawn, outside Chicago. He said, I see myself retiring to spend time with my wife and kids and being one of the greatest to play the game. So that certainly proved true.
It certainly has. My goodness. And yes, a very happy birthday to a South Florida sports legend. Hey, I want to transition to the Miami Hurricanes, Barry. I mean, it has been incredible that in under 3 weeks, Manny Diaz has completely shifted the narrative surrounding the football program. What have you made of what he's accomplished so far in such a short period of time?
Yes, it has been. And he's become king of the transfer portal, right?
Yes,
it's just, it's incredible what he's accomplished with players from other programs, beginning with Tommy Kennedy, the left tackle from Butler, who was highly recruited. Texas and Oklahoma wanted him. You can plug him in as your starting left tackle. K.J. Osborne, the receiver from Buffalo, could become the best receiver on this team, along with Jeff Thomas, who was obviously reinstated this week. They, of course, added the plum of this group, Tate Martell, the number 39 overall prospect in the 2017 recruiting class, transferring from Ohio State. He could be the quarterback of the future if he beats out Jaren Williams and Nikosi Perry, and the odds would probably be in his favor. So Miami has just gotten tremendous help from what has become the college equivalent of NFL free agency, being able to go out, acquire players for a year. Now, Martell, of course, is not a grad transfer, unlike Osborne and Tommy Kennedy. Martell will have 3 years of eligibility remaining, and he's trying to become eligible next season, but that will hinge on one of a couple of things. He can either get an NCAA ruling, which he hopes will be in his favor to make him eligible, or he can potentially graduate from Ohio State in May, which he's trying to do, which would mean that he could come to UM as a transfer, a grad transfer, and would still have 3 years of eligibility left, but would be able to play in 2019. So at this point, unclear if he'll be able to play this season or wait till 2020.
It's unclear, but it is exciting that whenever he plays, you feel like you've got a lot of potential there, as you mentioned, as far as his ranking come out of high school. And, you know, I don't think there's any shame in sitting behind JT Barrett and Dwayne Haskins the last couple of years at Ohio State. That makes sense. Those are two very talented players. I would ask you this, though, Barry, because I know you've written about the reactions of the families of Nikosi Perry and Jaren Williams. Is it your belief that Manny Diaz, this will truly be an open competition for all those guys? Or do you think Tate Martell, just based on his track record and knowing how he's been touted, that he probably has the inside track of the starting job whenever he's eligible?
I would think he'd have the inside track, not because of favoritism, but just because of natural ability. I mean, there's a reason why he's UM's best recruit far as most ballyhooed high school players since Kyle Wright. And obviously they're getting him 2 years removed from high school, but this is the first top 50 quarterback UM has landed since Kyle Wright was ranked in the top 10 by Rivals back in 2003. He's just has a very intriguing skill set, able to run the read option effectively, able to get out of the pocket. His arm is good. It's not extraordinary, but it's really good. And he's just been extremely accurate in the limited body of work at Ohio State. He was 23 for 28 through the air this year, and at Bishop Gorman High in Las Vegas, which is a big-time program, and he was outstanding there, throwing over 100 touchdowns, only 9 interceptions, and going 43-0 as a starter.
Barry Jackson covers everything on the South Florida sports scene for the Miami Herald, joining me here on 560 WQAM. Hey, Barry, based on his social media savvy, I feel like Manny Diaz has quickly become the Power Five's version of Lane Kiffin. It's like, he's grasped onto this Twitter thing, and suddenly it's like a must follow where everybody's just waiting for him to hit enter either on his phone or his keyboard, whatever the next big news is going to be. I think he's done an incredible job of regaining some excitement around the program through his social media accounts.
Yes, and he's driving the beat writers crazy because every time one of them sees one of the tweets and they wonder, oh my gosh, what's the next shoe to drop? And then it's a guessing game and a race to try to confirm what indeed he's trying to convey. But one of the more interesting ones was a Michael Jackson tweet of holding up four fingers, which happened to be the jersey number of Jeff Thomas on the night that Thomas announced that he's been reinstated. So he gets an A for creativity. Heck, if his head coaching work is anywhere nearly as terrific as his work on Twitter, then I foresee a lot of 11-1 seasons.
All right. I like the sound of that. Hey, Barry, finally, I want to ask you about the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we're in kind of this holding pattern with Brian Flores and the New England Patriots still in the playoffs. Now, I don't disagree with this notion of taking a different approach. I just don't like the fact that the Dolphins, via Stephen Ross in his press conference and the report that Adam Schefter had earlier this week, that they essentially have announced that they're tanking. I mean, that's the interpretation that everybody has. So I'm okay with rebuilding. I'm okay with even losing short-term to benefit yourself long-term, but I don't like the idea of essentially broadcasting that to everyone. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And it's not as though the Dolphins have used the word tanking or said it in so many words, but I find this telling. In the past, if a reporter has basically conveyed a narrative which the organization believes is wrong, they have revealed that to that reporter in terms of saying, you know, look, you're going the wrong direction. This is not accurate. That's not been the case with the stories about tanking. They are not disputing this at all. And in fact, we'll keep going back to that Ross comment when asked about why he fired Adam Gase. He said Adam wants to win. So that should speak volumes. I know you and I have both laughed about that over the last couple of weeks. But to me, that speaks volumes about what the thinking is, which is, field a team that's just not very good, young, developmental, try to at least move a couple of prospects along this year. If you can augment your offense and defensive lines in the draft, start developing those kids, and then ideally find your quarterback in 2020. The question will be, if Kyler Murray is there at 13, does Chris Greer fall in love with him over the next 3 months and pull the trigger instead of waiting with the hope that you would get either Tua from Alabama or Justin Herbert in the 2020 draft? That will be the biggest decision he faces if Kyler Murray is there at 13 and if he impresses during the offseason work. You know, he's obviously going to have to work out for teams if he expects to be a high draft pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's going to be really intriguing, because even though that narrative right now is that they're going to kind of build the roster in 2019 in anticipation of getting a quarterback, if that quarterback, like you're saying, and Kyler Murray becomes available prior to then perhaps, you know, that original plan, you scrap that and go with what you have available to you. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. Hey, Barry, appreciate the time. We're going to be on our sister station, 7-9 of the Ticket, on Sunday from 11 to 3. So look forward to working with you, as always, there. Safe travels, and enjoy the rest of this trip with the Miami Heat.
Thanks, Greg. I'll see you Sunday.
Okay, sounds good. There he is, Barry Jackson. Follow him on Twitter at FLA Sports Buzz, and read his work, the Florida Sports Buzz column in the Miami Herald. Nobody more thorough than Barry Jackson when it comes to covering the South Florida sports scene. Good to catch up with him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.